May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Good morning. My name is Francis Young, and I'm a member of the PCC here at St. Mary's. Several years ago, I received a phone call from a fellow teacher on a Sunday asking me if I'd act as extra supervision on a school trip. The trip was to Thetford Forest and involved accompanying a group of 11-year-olds as they moved from platform to platform by ropes about 40 feet above the forest floor. The teacher didn't tell me this, however, and when I arrived, I thought that the children were just going on a walk in the woods. When I was faced with the prospect of climbing a rope ladder to a platform with no handrails attached to a tree by nothing but a metal clip, the teacher just said to me, "Think of it as a challenge." And unless there'd been 25 11-year-olds looking at me at that moment, I would certainly have turned tail and ran. I wonder if someone has ever described something thoroughly unpleasant to you as a challenge. It's a wonderfully useful euphemism to dispose of something that's really quite nasty. Or at least, so it seems at the time. One of the strange things about a challenge is that it often seems worthwhile and useful when we look back on it. Very few people really welcome challenges at the time. If they do, then they're not really challenges at all. The most usual feeling that I remember when faced with a challenge to my behavior from my parents or my teachers was resentment. We don't like people to hold us to account. But looking back, I remember those moments especially vividly, and I understand why they acted as they did. This morning's gospel reading features an encounter with Jesus that takes the form of a challenge of this kind, the kind that holds someone to account for their life and behavior. The first thing I want to do this morning is explore why it is that Jesus sometimes encounters us through challenges. Secondly, I want to question whether the rich young man or the rich young ruler, whatever you want to call him, is as much of a failure as we might first assume. And thirdly, I want us to consider how this Lent we can learn to respond to Jesus as someone who challenges our behavior. The rich young ruler of Luke 18 certainly isn't looking for a challenge. In fact, I suspect it's precisely because he's not looking for a challenge that Jesus decides to give him one. The rich young ruler comes to Jesus seeking a solution to a problem. The problem is, or at least it seems to be, that he's uncertain of his own salvation. He has a niggling sense of doubt that he's not right with God. So he comes to Jesus asking, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus picks him up on presuming to call him good, but this is a mere prelude to Jesus's real challenge. The rich young ruler is looking for a quick fix, an easy answer. So Jesus gives him one: "Keep the commandments." "But I have," the young man replies. "Okay then," says Jesus, "try this for size. Sell everything you have and give it all to the poor." We have to exercise some caution in interpreting this passage. Jesus is not saying that giving everything you have to the poor is actually the way to enter the kingdom of heaven. And although there's much we can draw from this passage about the proper Christian attitude to personal wealth, I'm not going to speak about it today. Instead, I want to suggest that Jesus chooses these particular words because he knows they are the last ones that the rich young man wants to hear. A challenge is only a challenge if it is unwelcome. If the encounter had taken place with someone else, Jesus might have told them to leave behind an adulterous relationship, or an all-consuming job, or a prestigious title. This passage is not really just about money. It's about whatever keeps us from fulfilling God's plan for our lives. Now, there are several places in the Gospels where we find Jesus posing a difficult challenge. They're sometimes called the hard sayings of Jesus, and it's tempting to try and interpret these verses so we can make sense of them and fit them into some sort of stereotyped image we may have of Jesus. But this is missing the point. Genuinely challenging language is not meant to be interpreted according to our own desires and expectations. Jesus meant to shock, because that was what was needed then, and it's still what's needed now. If you can read the Bible prayerfully without being shocked and appalled by some of what you read, then you must be reading a funny translation. We cannot allow interpretation to become sanitization. For instance, it would be wrong to say simply that today's gospel reading is just about getting your priorities straight and having your heart in the right place. No. Jesus meant to discomfort the rich young man, and we need to let him discomfort us also. Turning away from Jesus to the rich young man himself, it's easy to see him as a rather sorry individual, one of the failures of the Gospels, someone who was unable to respond to Jesus' call. But I want to suggest this morning that this characterization of the rich young man might be unfair. Luke tells us that the rich young man went away feeling sad because he was so wealthy. But consider what Luke doesn't say. He doesn't say that the rich young man didn't respond, eventually, to Jesus' call. And in fact, over the centuries, many identities have been suggested for the rich young man. Some think he was Mark, the evangelist, others Barnabas, others Lazarus, or even a young Saul. Now, this kind of speculation is probably not very helpful, but it does remind us that an encounter with Jesus is not always something that leads to an immediate change in our lives. This is especially true when Jesus encounters us, as he did the rich young ruler, through a challenge. If a challenge has an immediate effect on us, then is it really a challenge? When a challenge is genuine, it grates against our beliefs and assumptions. It niggles at us over a long period of time until eventually we realize we have no choice but to reevaluate our priorities. Who is to say that this didn't happen to the rich young man? Luke tells us that he went away sad. That sadness could well have been the beginning of a change of life. It tells us from that moment on, the young man was no longer satisfied by his wealth alone. He couldn't be. If Jesus succeeded in nothing else, he'd succeeded in discomforting him. More often than not, it's from discomfort that change ultimately comes. This Sunday, we mark the fifth and final Sunday of Lent, before the church begins Passiontide, when we reflect directly on the death and suffering of Jesus. In the early church, Lent was a time of repentance, in Greek, metanoia, which means literally turning around or turning away. The metanoia of Lent is not that moment when the rich young man broke eye contact with Jesus, looked at the ground, and turned away. Our metanoia needs to be like that moment, which may have happened days, weeks, or even years later, when a man who had met the Son of God in the flesh remembered and finally decided he could no longer live without exploring the challenge that Jesus had set him. Metanoia is turning back to Jesus, turning back to what our mind knows so well, but our heart finds so hard to accept. That we are his, purchased at the price of his blood, and that we owe him everything we are. At the back end of Lent, most of us have probably failed in any observance we set ourselves. I certainly have. Standing before Jesus as failures, we may feel very tempted to do what the rich young man did at first, to drop our eyes, turn around, and walk away sadly. But that is not why Jesus sets us challenges. And unlike the rich young ruler, we know the price that Jesus was willing to pay for our salvation. You will have treasure in heaven, Jesus promised the young man, because what is impossible with man is possible with God. Our salvation is possible because Jesus made it possible, and because all the wealth in this world is as nothing to the treasure of his body broken on the tree and his precious blood poured out as our redemption. Amen.